torch of freedom burn. Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wall Builders Live, where we talk about today's hottest topics on policy and faith and the culture, always from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. It's day 34 of the COVID crackdowns across the country. And of course, if you're in one of those states where you're not allowed to go anywhere or do anything because of the edicts of a governor, maybe you're looking for something to do. Well, listen, a lot of you are schooling from home for the first time. Now, some of us have been homeschooling for our children's entire lives, and we've enjoyed it. And there's a lot of great state associations out there that can really help you with figuring out how to do this and not lose your sanity and actually enjoy it. And you will find some wonderful time with your kids. And so later in the week, we're going to have tomorrow, Sam Sorbo with us to talk about that. But what I want to encourage you to do today is go to patriotacademy.com and sign up for our crash course on history and government. It's going to be a really fun every afternoon, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the next few weeks. We're going to get together and have a live class. We're going to have special guests on each of those programs. We're going to take you to some really cool history spots throughout our nation and bring to life some of history's mysteries and legends and study the Constitution at the same time. It's for the whole family, and it's free if you're a member of a state homeschool association. And if you're not, you need to join one. They'll help you out with what you're going through right now, and then there's a small fee if you don't want to join an association. Check it all out at patriotacademy.com. It's the crash course on history and government. You're going to enjoy it and have a great time. The other website I want you to go to, so patriotacademy.com, if you want to join us on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. That's going to start on Monday, April 27th. And then also visit wallbuilderslive.com, which you may have already been there today to get this program, or if you're listening on one of our stations across the country. I encourage you to go to wallbuilderslive.com because it's a great time to catch up on some of the programs that you've missed, to enjoy some Good News Fridays. We could all use some encouragement right now. And then also, I'm going to ask you, please consider making a contribution there. There's a place right there where you can click on contribute, and it's very important to recognize that we need truth. We need some perspective right now in our nation. We need to be able to look back at the history and the Constitution and the Bible and say, how do you navigate what's happening right now in our nation? There's a proper way to do that, and there's some great answers from history and the Constitution and the Bible, and that's what we bring you on Wall Builders Live. But we need your help to spread the word. You can do that a couple of ways. You can share. Use your social media to share these programs. You can contribute, and that contribute button is what I'm talking about right now at wallbuilderslive.com. And maybe it's $5, maybe it's $50. Maybe you'd be willing to become one of our monthly donors as well. Believe me, we need truth in our country right now, and Wall Builders Live is bringing that truth. Thanks for considering that at wallbuilderslive.com. All right, David, Tim, you know, last week we talked a lot about the role of the church in this crisis and stepping up and some of the cool things that are going on, some of the bad things that are going on. And later in the program, Chad Connolly is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about Faith Wins. We're going to be talking about how he's helping to equip churches to respond in this time. But I think you guys said it when it first happened. I mean, this is an opportunity actually for church. Even though there's a lot of bad going on, it's an opportunity for the church to be seen as the epicenter of the community once again.
Yeah, one of the things that we often try to point out to people is that in a room of darkness, the light is what people are drawn to and look to. And in a culture that is not sure what the answer is, and a church, right, that led by the Bible, we are given the answers. God's given us the key to so many things, and we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We are supposed to help be the solution in times of crisis, and not that we're escapists and we never have any problems. No, we understand from Scripture there's going to be problems, but we understand in the midst of problems, we're not in this alone, that there is a God who is with us, that we are not given the spirit of fear, but of love. Right, of self-control, the sound mind that we are given, this power that we are given. There's a lot that we have from Scripture that we can lean to in times like this. And especially when there are people in need, we know that pure and undefiled religion is to look after widows and orphans in their time of need, that greater love is no one than he laid down his life for his friends, that whatever we do to the least of these, we've done unto him. There's so much that should guide our thinking as Christians that should lead us to want to be part of the solution in culture. And we see that churches have tried to step up in some cases. We talked about last week where judges stepped in and told churches they couldn't meet, they couldn't do things. If people did not hear Good News Friday last week, go back and listen to Good News Friday. A lot of good stuff happened. We had Kelly Shackelford on Good News Friday, and Kelly pointed out, right, that some of this stuff where in some cities you had mayors, you had different leaders who were saying that, no, churches can't assemble, they can't meet. And then judges stepped in to point out, actually, nope, this is constitutional, right? They're following CDC guidelines, that what they're doing is totally legal. It's totally safe. There's a lot of of battle that is being waged, and yet there's some good things that are happening as churches are stepping out to lead. And this is something that certainly churches ought to be looking right now for creative ways of how can we help? How can we make a difference? In times of crisis, this is when the church should be the most relevant. And as Christians, this is when we should be the most engaged in how can we help? How can we serve? How can we love? Because this is when we see so many people in need.
And one of the folks who's really been good at helping churches see the role they have is Chad Connolly. We've known Chad for a number of years. He was very active in helping churches get focused on elected leaders around them. I mean, the leaders you have in a community make a big difference. We looked last week, the mayor of Charlotte, the governor of North Carolina, what's happening there. So having the right kind of leaders can make it easier or harder on the church. And Chad's been one of the ones encouraging the church to really step up and take a voice. So Chad Connolly, great guy, great perspective, now has an organization called Faith Wins, which really helps equip the church to be salt and light in the community.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back on Wobblers Live with Chad Connolly. Hey, friends, Rick Green here, and I want to invite you to join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon for a crash course on history and the Constitution. We're going to take you to some incredible places in American history and bring that history to life, tell you the story of America, rediscover the roots of what made America great in the first place, and we're going to have live conversations and questions with it. All the different folks that starred in Chasing American Legends, they're going to join us throughout the series. David Barton will be there live on one of our programs, Tim Barton on another one. We've got Dr. Alveda King coming in, Brad Stein. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. You can sign up right now at patriotacademy.com. It is entirely free if you are a member of a state homeschool association anywhere in the country. And if not, you need to join anyway. Right now, everybody's schooling from home, whether it's yourself and your whole family or maybe just you by yourself. Either way, get signed up. And if you're not a member of an association, we still have ways for you to sign up. But we'd love to have you join us for this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon. It's going to be a great time of history and government and learning what we can do to be citizens. It'll bring history to life. It's going to be fun and entertaining, and it's going to be live, and we expect to see you there. Check it out at patriotacademy.com. Welcome back to Wobblers Live. Thanks for staying with us today. Chad Connolly is with us from Faith Wins. Chad, man, thanks for your time today and all the chaos that's out there right now.
Rick, are you kidding? I'm honored, brother. I love Wall Builders and what you and Tim and David have done for years. And I've watched your stuff and supported y'all. And I'm honored to be on with you, brother.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing as well, waking up the church, waking up pastors, equipping them. I mean, the stuff you're doing with Faith Wins, that's what we need. The church should be the epicenter of the community. And you know, in all of this chaos right now, as people are looking for answers, what an opportunity that churches have to step up and to bring the truth.
Amen. And only God. I mean, you and I have been talking, and I believe Romans 8:28 is true, and all things do work together for good of those that love God and are called according Amen. To purpose. And, man, he's calling us right now, and he is going to draw people unto himself online through ways that you and I never imagined. So God's in control. He's on the throne, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, you guys were already at it, equipping churches and preparing them to be salt and light in the community and to wake up and train, literally train the church to teach biblical worldview on how do you be a good citizen. And so now you're kind of thrust into this opportunity where churches are looking for answers. And so we want to send people to your website, faithwins.us, and get you to just tell us a little bit about how the church can find its voice, not only during this immediate, you know, crisis, if you will, in the country, but as we come out of this, how do we rebuild? And you know, as you and I were talking about off air, how do we become stronger on the other side of this instead of it letting it weaken us?
Well, amen, brother. And I'll give you a little bit of background so you know how this comes together, because this is maybe the greatest opportunity in our lifetimes for the church to be exactly what Jesus designed and called for us to be his hands and feet, right? To reach out to people who are in need and to be recognized out there. I mean, I was talking to my pastor yesterday morning, and there are thousands of people watching online who probably wouldn't have darkened the doors. There are people who wouldn't have conceived of prayer, you know, what, a month ago, who are now seeking out God in prayer. But in a bigger sense, Rick, Faith Wins came out of, you know, I've spoken in churches for 20, 25 years, and I got to tell you, David Barton's been a big part of my story, and other heroes like Bob McEwen just encouraging me to be one more voice out there telling pastors, you know, you are the ones who people look to for direction. I love what David did and what you guys researched on how the communities looked to pastors years ago and how maybe some of that's fallen away because we, let's face it, we've been talked out of the arena, Rick. When I was state party chairman in South Carolina, I got to have a front row seat in the 2012 election. I watched how the political people just completely ignored the evangelical vote. And so I fussed at a guy named Reince Priebus. Reince is a believer. He actually saw me on a show on MSNBC. I did every political show on television at the time, and I was defending my faith. And so I went up and talked to Reince. I said, man, the church needs to be involved. They need to be maximizing the Christian vote in every election. And the long story short, he created a position for me called GOP Faith. I got to be the first ever national director of faith engagement for either party. I went all over the country, went to 43 states, and spoke to around 85,000 pastors. And then when I left the RNC in 2017, I started my own C3 called Faith Wins to just maximize the Christian vote. And, Rick, not just for a national election, but down to school boards and city councils and county yes. councils, because Christians should have a presence that is massive in every arena, in the public arena, brother.
As you're describing that, I have to imagine probably the number one question, objection, whatever that you got was, well, wait a minute, aren't you mixing politics with the church? How did you respond to that?
Yeah, man, I love getting that question. I absolutely love it. And I handle it two ways. Number one is, can you define, and I've gotten it from a handful of pastors. Pastor, can you define the beginning of politics in your Bible and the end of your spiritual life? Can you define that? And number two, what does it mean to be salt and light if we're not maximizing our Christian vote? And yeah. here's the other thing I do. I quote a pastor buddy of mine from D.C., a guy named Brad Wells. He gave this great quote. I've been using it for a long time now. You know, it is inconceivable that the God who created human government would want his own people to step out of it.
Amen.
It's inconceivable.
Amen.
How in the world would the God who created one of the three institutions he gave us, Rick, the family, the church, and government, why would God want us to step out? But here's the bigger sense, because you really got to talk about the root of where that question comes from, right? Lest you and I face it, the left and the media have been pretty effective at saying, ooh, you Christians, you're great at evangelism and missions, and my kids love your Vacation Bible School, but preacher, you shouldn't be involved in politics, right? You may offend somebody. Well, we're Christians. We don't want to offend anybody. We put on our turn the other cheek Jesus. We back away, and lo and behold, we find out now we better find our turn the tables over Jesus. Rick, we're facing questions,
right.
attacks on religious liberty, maybe like never before, and maybe that's what God's doing in some of this and allowing is so that we re-engage and reestablish our presence and our dominance in the culture for where we should be and where he expects us to be.
I love that expression. We better find our turn the table over Jesus. That's so
Amen.
Good. And it's so we've got this warped, pigeonholed view of Jesus, as my friend Cliff Graham says, if he's just sitting around petting lambs all day. That's what we should kind of imagine him somehow the way that we've pigeonholed him there. But you're right. I mean, there is definitely that there is a time to stand up in the culture and absolutely, in some cases, you have to push back against culture, and that's you know, you can do it in the right way. Obviously, and that's part of what you guys are training people on how to do is how do you stand up as a church and be true salt and light, where you're bringing out the flavor in the culture, you're preserving the culture. That is the role of the church. Give me a little bit on what pastors are, how they're responding to you right now, like in this crisis, and saying, you know, how can we help more in our communities?
Man, they are flocking. So my plan was to basically do what I did with GOP Faith and travel around to the key states and maximize the Christian vote by informing them of, you know, issues that are going on, but also conducting a nonpartisan Christian voter registration. And when what we did with the crisis and the stay-at-home stuff was we moved to conference calls. I was looking at numbers from yesterday. So from January 4th until yesterday, I've had 1,339 pastors I've never engaged with on my conference calls.
Wow.
From January 4th until March the 12th, which was the last in-person meeting I did before travel ended, I was with exactly 724 pastors who had never been on my list. You know, I think they're responding. They need help. They need inspiration. They're being drained, Rick. They need somebody helping give them not just the day-to-day inspiration to hang in there, be not weary in well-doing, stay in the fight, but also to give them the big picture. Hey, this too will pass. As they say, this came to pass, and it's going to pass, and it's going to lift. And at that point, man, we have a major national election coming up this fall that's going to decide the direction. Look, Look what we're looking at. We want people who have God's people around them in key spots. If Christians can't take a look and see everything that's going on and the importance of having God's people, men and women, in key spots, I don't know what's ever going to tell them that.
Man, you're so right. And that's, you know, that really comes down to the heart of it, is that what makes a society flourish is when you have the right principles. And we know that all the answers are in the Bible. And so if we have leaders that look to the Bible for wisdom and the way that they govern, then they handle these kind of crisis situations as well as everyday life much better, and in a way that allows us to still have our religious liberties and all of our other freedoms that we hold dear. And it all comes back to, who are we choosing as those leaders? Are we choosing leaders that look to that biblical worldview and that exhibit that description we get in Exodus of able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness? So,
amen.
I mean, that's what you're doing, is getting churches to have that voice at every level. And I love the fact that you didn't just say, you know, presidential election. You went all the way down to school board. And I mean, it goes to water district. It goes all the way down to that local level. So the key factor that people need to be thinking about is coming back to having the church get their citizens to understand biblical citizenship and then live that out. And that really begins with, you know, voter registration drives like you guys show people how to do, and pastors speaking on the issues.
Yeah.
So when they go to faithwins.us and they connect with you, then you help them learn how to do this if they've never done it before. Or if they have, you connect them with others that need help as well.
That's exactly right. It's pretty simple, right? It's not rocket science to do, but pastors are the busiest people you ever meet, right? They've got everybody pulling on them. So I tell them, I don't want to be a drag on you. I don't want to be a burden. I want to give you the tools and resources so that we just don't do voter registration, but we measure it. I'll give you this example. When I talked to Reince in 2012, and we'd watched the Romney campaign, didn't spend a thin dime on anything faith-related, it just offended me as a Christian. Come on, man. Talk about, you know, things that matter. And so I was actually teaching the book by George Barna, and I love David's book with Barna, U-Turn, but he did one several years ago called Think Like Jesus. And it's just a biblical worldview book, right? It's my God's everywhere. My God's big enough to be 24/7 and 4,000 days a year kind of thing. My God's in everything. We don't give up our First Amendment rights because we stand behind the pulpit, right? We don't lose those constitutional rights. God's
exactly.
in everything all the time. And when I started recognizing this and told Reince, I looked at those numbers that David and George Barna had given. And, of course, people push back on them because their definitions are different and it's cloudy. But if George Barna's numbers are even close, and I trust Barna's numbers and his research, somewhere around 80 million people sitting in churches on a typical Sunday, right? Not now, but a typical Sunday. 30 million vote, Rick. Now, by anybody's definition, and I said on Mike Huckabee's Fox News show, somewhere between 55 and 58 million people sitting in churches didn't go vote in a major election.
Wow.
And, of course, I got pushback from the experts. But by Pew, by Gallup, by everybody's definition, somewhere between 40 and 50 million people who profess Jesus as Lord don't go exercise their right to vote. Rick, we don't have to put up with the slaughter of babies or the constant attacks on Israel or all the threats on religious liberty. Look at the difference in governors and how they run things and the constitutional, not just religious liberties, but the constitutional liberties they're protecting in the crisis versus the progressive governors who are taking rights and freedom. We watch David Benham be arrested because he's protesting outside of a abortion mill the other day. They can do abortions. But boy, don't go out there and.
No, he's there. He's there to counsel. He's there to counsel girls and serve right there and obeying all of the, you know, distancing laws and all that stuff that they threw into place. And yet they still arrested him. So you're right. Abortion protected. Taking the life is protected. Counseling that girl is not protected because government was deciding what is essential and what is not essential, which it shouldn't be doing. I'm getting off on a tangent, but you're exactly right. It comes back to what kind of leaders.
What
are you choosing?
Leader?
Are they going to protect those constitutional rights, including freedom of religion, or not? And that's our duty. That's 50
Amen.
Million sitting at home and not – just think about it. I mean, Chad, you know, what is it? 1 million, 2 million typically is the difference in a nationwide election, let alone all those local elections you were talking about.
Brother, it's a big deal. We have all watched this transgender agenda move across the country. It started in Charlotte, North Carolina, Rick. There was a mayor elected in one of her first – council meetings. Now, surely the city of Charlotte has bigger things than to worry about who goes to what bathroom and based on what biology. right? I mean, let's face it, whether if Jesus don't come home and they dig up your carcass, if Jesus doesn't come back in a million years, they dig up your carcass, they're going to find boy or girl. You can define how you want to define it, but that's just the truth. But
that's so right.
One of her first.
Now, wait a minute, Chad, you sound like you believe in science.
That's exactly science. That's called
we're the ones that still actually believe in biology and science. The other side says we don't like science. Anyways, go ahead.
One of her first meetings, she passes the bathroom law, the ordinance.
Yeah.
Of course, it sweeps across the state, the basketball conferences, the NCAA, the NBA. They go nuts. They create corporate terrorism. Do you know what the turnout of the election was in the city of Charlotte who elected that lady mayor? It was 6%, Rick.
Oh,
it was 6%. That means, here's what that means, is that means one big church in the city of Charlotte could have shut that nonsense down. It
That's
swept
right.
the whole nation. The left and the progressives and the media, and I don't mean to repeat myself, and all the media is not liberal. It's only like a 96% number, right?
That's right.
But
That's
they,
right.
they have been so good at talking us out of the arena that we sit at home and believe my vote doesn't count. That's why I talk about city council, county council, school board, Congress, the president. Man, it's not just about a national election. It's about God's people. Like my buddy Bradwell, I'll give him credit again. It is inconceivable that the God of human government would want his people to get out of the system. That's crazy.
That's right. That's right.
But yet, that's what too many of our pastors believe in.
Oh, Chad, it's so good, man. Good stuff. I can you're such a better man than me because you said you've been quoting Brad's quote for all that time. See, I do the Zig Ziglar thing. Once I give it to you three times, that's it. After that, it's mine. But you're still giving him credit.
I told Brad that Zig Ziglar quote. I love that quote.
Hey, man, we got to get you back. Right now, though, really want to encourage people. Faithwins.us, that's a website you can go to, get connected to Chad, get your church involved, not only in the initial voter registration drive, but keeping connected with those folks and keeping the get the turnout and make the difference. This is what it's going to take, man. I'm so excited about what you're doing. Let's do it again soon, brother.
Hey, you know it. Listen, give David and Cheryl a hug and tell Tim, hey, and I love what y'all are doing. I believe in you. I support you. God bless you.
Thank you, man. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton. Hey friends, it's Rick Green from Wobblers Live, and I have had so many requests about what in the world can we be studying at home right now. You know, I got the kids at home, they're normally in school, or if you homeschool, you're looking for additional material. One Room Schoolhouse. It is a great new series Wobblers is putting out where you literally get a tour of the Wobblers Library as Tim Barton and Jonathan Ritchie bring history to life. There's a couple of resources on this. You can go to YouTube and search for Wall Builders and look for One Room Schoolhouse. You can go to our Facebook page and get it right there on Facebook as we do it live each Monday and sometimes additional days from there. And then you can also just go to wallbuilders.com. Scroll down to the bottom and we'll be posting the videos as they come out. This is such a great way to learn and a great way for you to share it with others. Gather the family around, watch the One Room Schoolhouse, and learn some great history. It'll be vitally important to restoring our nation and bringing back these principles that made America great in the first place. Check it out, One Room Schoolhouse at wallbuilders.com. We're back on Wallbuilders Live. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks to Chad Connolly for being with us as well. And we'll have links today at wallbuilderslive.com so you can jump right over to Faith Wins and get involved with their organization this year. Very important to have guys like this during an election, well, all the time, but certainly during an election year, during all this crisis, really helping pastors to navigate some of this in terms of how to be good corporate citizens. Can I say corporate citizens? How about church citizens? What's the right way to say that?
Well, I think corporate in the sense of collective, all together, the corporate body of Christ, the larger focus. And yeah, being corporate citizens, the body of Christ really does need to step up. As he said, the church really does need to regain its voice. And I love the analogy he used. He said, we've been the turn of the other cheek, Jesus, but we need to find our turn the table over, Jesus.
I mean, right.
we need to get a little backbone to step up and be seen here.
And one of the things, too, as we pointed out in the opening segment, where Kelly Shackelford last week on Good News Friday was talking about some of the victories we have seen. Well, one of the reasons that we had the battle in the first place is because we had people in positions who didn't have the right worldview, didn't have the constitutional understanding. And so they were telling churches that they couldn't step up, that churches couldn't be engaged, that churches couldn't have service, as opposed to going, wait a second, no, this is constitutional. This is, right, First Amendment right with assembly, with expression, with religion, like totally all of this is constitutional. You're following CDC guidelines. part of the battles we fight are because the church has not been engaged in the process, and therefore we have gotten people in positions of power who don't have the right ideology, the worldview when it comes to the Constitution, when it comes to morality, when it comes to the Bible. And this is something he even pointed out, that it would be inconceivable that the God who created government would want his kids to step out of that arena when really God made three arenas, and it was his kids he wanted leading in all of those arenas. And so part of what the church ought to do is find, how can we engage in the civic arena? How can we get back? And right, as Chad pointed out, this should be in every single area of the civic arena, whether we're looking at local level with city council, school board, all the way up to right, the U.S. congressman, to the president of the United States, whatever across the board it is, we ought to be looking for how we can get engaged in the process. And the more the church steps up, then the less of these battles we will have to deal with in the future, because we will have the right kind of people in those positions that we don't have to deal with the same kind of nonsense we've dealt with for so long. And Dad, as you pointed out, I love the analogy, when for so long we've thought of Jesus as just being soft and meek and right. Well, the meek will inherit the earth. Well, that's true. The meek will inherit the earth, but I'm pretty sure Jesus even talked about he didn't come just to bring peace. There was going to be some division, right, where family was going to go against family. And the only reason that happens is because somebody's standing up and proclaiming something that offends somebody else. Jesus had a message of offense in so many situations. Now, he said it in love, but truth is offensive to people that are offended by truth. And this is where the church can't be scared to promote truth or get engaged in the process to defend truth. We have to step up in this situation.
More information for you at wallbuilderslive.com today. You can connect with Faith Wins and Chad Connolly there. And then you can also go to patriotacademy.com today if you'd like to join us on that Monday, Wednesday, Friday afternoon class. We're going to do a crash course on history and government. It's a great time of learning for the entire family. So whether you're schooling at home for the first time and you're looking for ways to get good information and spend some time with the family learning good things, or even if you've done that your whole life, or you don't even have the kids at home anymore, but you'd like to join us for this wonderful educational journey, there's going to be 12 classes Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the next 4 weeks, and it all starts on April 27th. Check it out at patriotacademy.com. Thanks so much for listening today to Wallbuilders Live. We stand on divine.